Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Hey, what's everybody doing Thanksgiving? Gobble, gobble, gobble. This is the Money Man, Eddie Money, and I'm having my favorite turkey stuffing and a big old bird with cranberry sauce and lots of gravy. Sit down and have a big old meal, huh? Right here, 97.1 The River Hang. We love you.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. It's so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me on the air, guys.
And what are you doing for Thanksgiving again?
I'm sorry. The kid that helped my wife clean the house up. She's a Spanish lady. She's coming over. She's known the kids for 30 years. She's coming over. She's bringing tamales over. And also my wife's hairdresser is coming over. He's a nice guy.
But you're not sure about him.
Well, no, I know what he is. But he's a good guy. He's not into girls. And I'm not into him. But he's just, you know, my wife says, where am I going to get my hair done? You know, you can't ever mess with your wife's hairdresser. You know that.
Absolutely. Well, Eddie Money.
No, no, guys.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. It's Eddie Money from heaven. Hey, everybody. I'm up here. Rail cars everywhere. 7 feet. Beautiful.
All right. We are the Toucher and Rich program, and today is the day before Thanksgiving. When I go to my father-in-law's house. And that plane leaves this afternoon. So, very exciting times.
Excellent. It's also Skanksgiving.
That's right, where I will be very snobby and tell you if things are actually ska music or not.
There will probably be 20% real ska, 50% crowd-pleasing ska, and 30% completely off-the-mark ska.
Yeah, I grew up...
Ones that should be reprehended and saying, how did this possibly get into the set list?
That is it. Because I grew up, actually, when I was of, like, 18 to 23, the 18 to 22 in Michigan, in the Midwest, was the huge ska boom with Jump Up Records featuring Johnny Sacco, Jack Kevorkian and the Suicide Machines, Mustard Plug. It was a resurgence of ska in the Midwest, leading the way.
Yeah, that was the era that my band started playing. And just every time you played and you looked at who was going to be in the, like, you know, in the clubs that week, I mean, ska was everywhere. And there was all these bands who were using a different pun with the word ska in it. Obi-Wan Skenobi, Scoffle House. There was, you know, of course, there's famous ones like the Scofflaws, although they do not put an A in their name.
No, they do not. The Scofflaws out of New York City, yes, they...
Scatolites.
Scatolites.
Well, Scatolites is like the first one.
Skank and Pickle.
Skank and Pickle, yeah. Mephiscopheles.
Mephiscopheles, pretty funny band. They were like the heavy metal ska band.
I think that, yeah, a little bit, yeah. But yes, there was a Skank and Pickle, one of the best concerts I ever went to.
It's almost impossible if it's a good ska band. I mean, there's a couple bad ones, but if it's a good ska band, it's almost impossible not to have a good time. Now, a ska festival might be a little too much, but like, you know, one off. I mean, even like, you know, someone as famous as like the Mighty Mighty Boston's, that's a great time. Like, and you, it's almost impossible not to have a good time at the Boston show.
Yeah. And the Boston's are a ska band. They second are. Wave ska band.
They were. And you know what? They helped out a lot of those bands that you're talking about. They kind of helped bring that into the light because they would bring them on tour. And on top of that, there was a moment where, you know, radio was just trying to grab anything at the time. And when the impression that I got up there, I mean, bands like Less Than Jake started getting airtime. Real Big Fish.
Who are still around, as is Less Than Jake.
That is true.
Loved Real Big Fish, that whole album.
They're still touring.
When I worked in Florida, we did, it was, of course, called a Scabacue, and it was with the Boston's, and it was a festival of bands, and you were like, by the third band, you're like, wow, somebody kill me.
right. Like the first
there's five more bands before the Boston's even come on, and you're like... This may not have been the best idea, but you know.
Listen, I was skanking in the pit over there at a ska festival in Worcester two summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was but Fishbone was playing, who aren't a ska band. They have ska songs,
right?
But
they veer into that every once in a while.
So it was, but I will be very snobbish today. I did not pick the song.
As I said, 20% Fred's going to be like that ska. 50% are crowd pleasers. And then there's going to be a decent amount, like 30%, where it's like, that's not ska.
No, I will. I'm going to blow a gasket. I don't care for that. No, thank you very much, sir. But yes. So, Murray, you are not traveling, but you have the weekend off.
I do. Gamble.
So you said that you're going to gamble extensively tomorrow.
Yeah. Last year I went 13-0. I gambled every game, totals, halves. I posted the ticket because it will never happen again.
So did you ask off? Because Thanksgiving week is kind of like the Super Bowl of part-timers.
I used to be on every Thanksgiving day until we moved to Beasley. We used to do like high school. We used to take like high school calls in the morning and get all that crowd in. And then, now it's, I do nothing all day.
I think you're being looked at in a different way, but a positive way. I think they're saying,
this guy doesn't need any money. I give him the money.
Or as Dan said, this guy's got too many hours.
Yeah, that's right. You can't. He's going to start because he's pushing he's pushing that boundary where
there's legal stuff that we might have to deal with.
Where he's got too many hours there.
but that's got to be fun. I mean, Thanksgiving has to just be because you're already, now it's an excuse to do what you love doing, and that is sitting, watching sports, and gambling.
I have no children. Mm-hmm. So, like tonight, we already have plans to go out. Get some Polynesian drinks. Mm-hmm. And
at the Loon?
No. You can't get in the Loon tonight. Tonight is like, I got to make a special call to get in tonight at the Loon.
Joe, you can't get into the Loon?
No, I can get in the Loon. Okay.
But if asking for, you can only ask for so many friends to get into the Loon.
That's true.
So the Loon on the night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. They can hold 1,000 cars already. They'll probably have, 1,500.
Now, Kowloon's got to be open on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Yep. They're open on Christmas, I would imagine.
Have to be. Yeah. Now you are going to, are you going to go to the bar that Gary Gallman likes to hang out at on Wednesday night?
I live around the corner from that bar, but you can't get in that bar on a Wednesday at 3 o'clock to get greatest steak tips in the world, but you can't get in the place. It's like the size of the studio. So I won't do that today, but... I like the hole in the walls that like I know people won't be at, and then just people watch all night. I don't want to be packed. It's real big amateur night tonight, and especially like in the city. Like I grew up in the Hypoc Rossi Westy area. JP, like every townie is going to be here. Like Bird and Everett today. I can only imagine what it's gonna be like for him today. Like if we talk about his touchdown from 20 years ago.
But you guys are kind of like big stuff now, so it's got to feel cool to go back to.
Bird just gave me a nod. Like but Bird is bringing in furniture. By the way. From his home.
I got into the studio?
Yeah. Just into like the hallway. He's taking furniture from his room.
Is that your Celtics chair? What am I looking at?
There's like
out there?
Coke mirrors, Celtics chair.
Coke mirrors?
Yeah.
Still have powder on it?
No.
They're called Coke mirrors is what they're called, but go ahead.
My parents finally sold the house, and that was in the basement. I'm like, you're not throwing that away. It's signed by Cedric Maxwell, so I figured I'd just bring it here. And
you have a chair signed by Cedric Maxwell?
I don't know.
That's got to be worth at least $5.
I mean, who could get his autograph? No, you don't have to bring that in.
No, I see it. Thank you, Nick.
Perfectly aware of what it is.
How did you get Cedric? This is almost like Step Brothers. How did you get Randy Jackson to sign your samurai sword? Like, how did you get Cedric Maxwell to sign this gigantic-ass chair that you have?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. Honestly.
Okay.
Well, he's
was probably like 20 years old.
His number is retired. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. He is royalty. But yes, that's the thing. His bird is because I saw him pull in. He pulled in when I pulled in, and I was gonna, you know, help him, you know, get in the building. It's rude not to, you know, buzz someone in. And he was sitting in his car, and I'm like, wow, Bird spent a lot of time in his car. And then Dan told me, oh no, he's got a bunch of stuff that he has to gather so he can bring it up here and just dump it here. Well,
okay. Is that chair been in your room? Is that where it was?
No, basement. This is all basement. His room is like the fancy stuff.
What has happened in that chair before, Bird?
Not farting. I mean, I don't think that's a love chair.
Do you have any memories, any like deep memories from any things that happened in that chair there, Bird?
You put it outside one time and partied?
No. I basically played like Nintendo 64 on when I was growing up. That was about it. Just sitting and playing video games growing up and then... got rid of it and put it in the basement.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember how I got signed with Cedric Maxwell. I can't remember for the life of me.
Did he write Cornbread on it? Did he just says Cedric Maxwell 31?
Yeah, his name and I think his number's on it.
Probably just some random tall black guy.
Myself and Bird have something in common. So do we graduate the same year? Were you 99 or 2000?
2000.
All right, so I was an offensive lineman. Were you as well?
Tight end, D-end, yeah.
We both scored touchdowns on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Hang on. Offensive lineman touchdown?
I was a defensive lineman. We were playing at Dillboy Stadium, and there was a blocked punt, and it landed in my hands.
Awesome.
And I ran it back for a touchdown, 60 yards.
Sweet.
Glory day talk right now. But being a lineman, running 60 yards over 300 pounds, it was a big deal. I think it was on like that High Five Channel 5 thing they did.
Yeah.
Look at this 300-pound guy running the field.
That gets you a free drink at the Prince of Pizza, doesn't
it? That's damn right it did.
And Bird, we've all seen yours because you brought in the tape very early in your career.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you brought in.
But like, it's a big deal. Here we are 20 years later.
What is the day like after you score a touchdown on Thanksgiving at Everett? Are you a king? Are you a god amongst men?
Not really. Like, oh, congratulations. All right, let's go win the Super Bowl, basically.
Yeah. They don't pick you up and carry you around town?
No, as if
you won the Greasy Pole competition?
Everett's like you've been there before.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to a small Catholic school. It was like, you're the man, dude.
They don't name a sandwich after you
roast beef place? They go on and find out how many... Wow, there's kids in Everett who are really good at football. I don't know how we get so many. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
The Bruins absolutely just embarrass the Montreal Canadiens last night, and Brad Marchand was happy to talk trash on the Canadiens fans as well.
All right, we will return.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey. Capping what you missed, it's Hatcher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Hatcher and Rich, and Rich, it was a big night for your Boston Bruins.
That it was, and there aren't many things sweeter than a silent Bell Center. The Boston Bruins head to Montreal and beat Claude Julien by a touchdown, 8-1 the final score. An absolute shellacking by the Bees, who are already shorthanded Patrice Bergeron. But if you thought that was going to slow down that first line, then you would be wrong.
40 seconds left here in the first. Bruins with a 2-1 lead. Steal out in front, back, and they score! And after the turnover, Swanson a backhand, 3-1 Bruins.
With his 3 points last night, Brad Marchand became one of the fastest Bruins in history to 40 points. The only three who reached it faster, Adam Oates, Phil Esposito, and Bobby Orr. Good old angry Phil Esposito. He has become only the 11th player in franchise history to record 600 regular season points and will probably move into the top 10 passing Terry O'Reilly later on this week.
What did Esposito have to say about that?
Well, I'll have to find that in just a moment, but he's not the only one pulling historic numbers.
Bruins keep the puck in. Far point, Carlo shoots, deflected, they score! Throw him if you got him! That's a hat trick for David Pastrnak! The tip out in front! He's got a trio of goals tonight! 6-1 Bruins!
Yep, Pastrnak notches his 6th career hat trick. There are only 2 players since 89 who have reached more than Pasta's 23 goals in 24 games. Those players, Brett Hull and Mario Lemieux. What's more impressive, Joe Murray, Pasta's 23 goals in 24 games or Papa's 40 pizzas in 30 days?
Oh,
I'm not quite sure.
I don't know, man.
It depends if Papa was eating the whole pie. I think he was just doing samples.
Somebody said that Papa John, in that interview, looked like the guy in the zombie movie who gets infected but doesn't tell anybody, but tries to hide it.
See, he just looks bloated, red, and sweaty, which sounds like a nice combination.
You know, I think
alcohol and Coke.
Papa and pasta could be a little thing here in the area.
Oh, I mean, you listen, well, pasta alone would not work. You would have to have, of course, the founder. You know, he said that it was about Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal on his own doesn't work in these ads, but if you teamed him up with a superstar like Papa John, boom, you have television magic.
That was his thing. He's like, I'm 5'10", he's 7'2". I mean, what do you want out of me? It would be hysterical. So you, Joe, you had said that you were willing to take this challenge.
I mean, I could do it. I just, yeah.
Because they could be small pizzas.
Yeah, I can. If you gave me a Domino's thin crust, I could crush two of those a day.
I mean, yeah, that's easy. That's nothing.
Yeah, I could fold it in half and probably eat it in, I don't know, less than an hour.
Oh, my God, yeah. Less than an hour? Yeah. Of course.
I saw people saying that 40 pizzas yesterday on Twitter, 40 pizzas in 30 days wasn't a big deal. And I'm like, dude, that's a big deal. I mean, first of all, just the how sick you would get of pizza after a while.
Yeah.
But 40 pizzas, I mean, having one whole pizza, you know, fine. But having, what, one in like a quarter?
What if they're small?
I mean, you think Papa John goes small?
No, he goes big or goes home.
You're exactly
right.
But
I'm saying, what if like your civilian just goes for a small pizza? Now, yeah, Papa's dipping sauces. Papa's, he's loving life.
I think Shaq would be great complimenting the founder. I mean, you got a guy that's 5'10", a guy that's 7'2". I mean, I think it would, the economy and the dynamics of the two personalities, that would be fun.
Yeah, you know, it writes itself. He's really tall, and I'm 5'10".
Shaq with a small guy?
All right, so how tall really is Papa John if he's saying he's 5'10"?
I mean, he bet he's 5'7".
Yeah, or 5'6", 5'7". Like, Papa's... I mean, with his vertical, I mean, Papa's 10 feet tall.
That is true. Well, that is an impressive feat, however, for Mr. Pasternak. 23 goals, 24 games. Also, the TNR bump is indeed real.
McAvoy swings it to the near circle. Corrales on near point now. Krejci, high slot, feeds right in it. Corrales sets it up. Dubrowski scores! How about the dish by Corrales on the power play for Jake DeBrusk? He snaps it by Price. A power play goal. Bruins 1, Canadiens nothing.
Our man Jake DeBrusk gets his second goal since speaking to us last week. And he was at a drought before that. He was injured as well. But he's more than likely going to be on with us again at 9:20. Have we heard a confirmation?
He is
maybe
not going to be on with us at 9:20.
No confirmation. Okay, well, that is it. Let's just go with doubtful, as they say on the injury report. So yeah. We shall see. Maybe 9:20. Maybe not. But on top of that, Sean Corrales, Charlie Coyle, both notched 3 points as well. Just an all-around ass-kicking last night. After the second intermission yesterday on Nesson, Brad Marchand, at his snarky best, when asked about the beatdown they were laying on Montreal.
This is probably the rink that we love to silence the most. You know, we're not going to say the game's over by any means. Anything could happen. We've seen that already this year, but it's a lot more fun when this rink is quiet and because they're very loud and obnoxious, and so it does feel good.
Good for Brad. Good for Brad Marchand.
I wonder with Grizzlick and the way he's playing, if that bodes well for Krug. I'm guessing no. I'm guessing with the way that Grizzlick's playing this year that, unfortunately, that might mean that Krug is not long for this franchise.
It makes it tougher to give him his market value, but Krug keeps talking about how he would take a discount, a hometown discount. But, I mean, you're
it
right.
It really doesn't
how
matter.
How much would it be?
Yeah, I mean, a discount is great, and I know he wants to be here, but and I know they want to keep him, but, I mean, they're really up against it, and it severely prohibits them from making other moves. And they're going to owe guys a lot of money. Now, they lucked out completely with this Pasternak deal. I mean, this is the best deal in hockey by far. Pasternak's deal is insane. And God bless Sweeney for doing what he did and locking him up at that money, which, by the way, some people had a problem with. But nonetheless, I mean, this is one of the best contracts probably of the last 10 years in the NHL. Yeah,
considering the bad ones that they have as well.
Like yeah, exactly. And so, no, not even for the Bruins, in the league. Uh-huh. So they're going to have to, I mean, there's so many guys they have to resign
And they got a million restricted free agents, guys they drafted who haven't even played yet.
Yeah.
You know?
And they also, you know, Backus ain't going nowhere, even though he lives on a main road.
Is this his last year? Or does he have one more?
No.
I think it's one more.
He's got one more.
He's got one more year after this one.
Ride that train.
He goes to the mobile. I don't know.
They did play well without Krug, though. I know they had a little bit of a losing streak, but Grizzlick, in his absence, Krug got an awesome goal, though, over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the game winner. It was awesome. And that was
no, Krug's great. It's just that with Grizzlick plays the same kind of game.
For a lot less, you can get a little less than Krug.
And then you
I guess that's the way to look at it.
And you can keep DeBrusk, and you can, you know, you're going to have to give McAvoy money, even though he hasn't earned it yet, and you're going to have to give Carlo money. Yeah.
Is McAvoy the only one who hasn't scored? Did I read that? I think he might be. Has he not scored yet this season? I don't know. It was a stat. I don't know why that stat's in my head, but I'll have to take a look. I don't remember him scoring
at all this season. He's not lived up to expectations this season.
He has not. Bruce Cassidy, despite the complete ass-kicking yesterday, he also was fairly critical of his team.
And we weren't sharp. We weren't as hard on the puck as we needed to be. They were. And then we were able to finish some nice plays. And then the goal at the end of the period probably hurt them. You know, that's a goal that you hate to give up, no matter in any circumstance. To go down two and you feel that... I'm sure they felt they played well 5-on-5, so that was probably a tough one for them.
And, you know, you're kind of, if you're the Bruins, there's probably something inside of you that thinks that game where they completely blew that four-goal lead against the Panthers is one that maybe they can learn a lesson from. Here's Marchand afterwards.
You know, we had to keep going. We've given up a four-goal lead here before this year, and it's happened a lot in the NHL throughout the course of the season. So we didn't want to stop. We wanted to keep going and continue to push our will on them. And, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah, McAvoy and Backus, we just said, confirmed, are the only two players who have not scored.
Great. Backus hasn't scored.
That have seen regular ice time. Yeah, right. I mean, that have seen regular ice time. They're the only ones who have not scored yet. We obviously understand why for Backus.
Just one thing to add, Yaroslav Halak was outstanding last
great.
Night.
Yeah.
He's 5-1 in the year. Tuukka's 11-2. Like, you'll probably see more Halak to give Rask rest. And, you know, I think it really worked last year, but Halak's been outstanding in that backup role once again.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need him because they might play him 50-50 for the rest of the season just because rest and Rask for the playoffs. And then the debate will be, do you play Rask every game in the playoffs?
Well, that is four wins in a row for the Bees. They stay atop the East tied with Washington, and no rest for these guys. They take on the Senators in Ottawa tonight at 7 p.m. Of course, the puck drops right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And when we come back after Joe Murray's headlines, Danny Ainge cheating on us, sitting down with Rachel Nichols and doing an interview. One great thing about Danny Ainge is if you heard our interviews, he's not afraid to answer questions. And yesterday he talked about why it all went wrong last year and whose fault it all was. It's Kyrie, spoiler alert, but he wouldn't say that.
No, you got to blame yourself. Hey, by the way, if you had Stephen F. Austin last night,
27.5 point dogs.
Did you have him?
No.
What if you bet the money line?
I probably would have won $1,000.
Off 100?
Off 100, probably.
Wow. Yeah.
I can get you the odds. But, yeah, that's an upset. That is a huge upset.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what, the top of the NCAA.
Yeah, Kentucky, Duke, they both have gone down.
Yeah, and Michigan State went down to Virginia Tech.
And the way it ended was awesome.
Jones, a tough chance.
Justified sportscaster yelling. Got no problem with that one.
No play-by-play, though, either.
No, there's no play-by-play there. They're not talking about the layup. Stephen F. Austin, by the way, if you think your kids are going to play college basketball, considering that was such a big upset, look at the size of those kids.
No, they're actually a really good tournament team.
Like, look at the size of the kids on that team. I mean, everyone's, you know, everyone playing basketball in the collegiate levels, like 6'7" to 7 feet tall. Mm. It's insane. All right, so we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub. I'm a match.
Interrupters.
Oh. Not a ska band.
They're a ska band.
No, they're not.
I would... That's ska.
This is a ska guitar.
That's a ska beat, ska guitar. That's ska.
It's not a ska band.
What's considered ska to you?
What?
What's considered ska to you?
I'll tell you when I hear it.
Was it like a Jamaican...
I mean, are Rancid a ska band?
They do ska songs.
They have the Interrupters are not a ska band.
I think they're classified as a ska band.
I disagree.
But that's a ska beat. I
know what ska is. You know, I don't need your
this
I don't
is
need
ska.
Your education. All right. What's going on?
All right. Well, as we let the ska fade out, this is yesterday. Danny Ainge did a sit down with Rachel Nichols and was asked about what went wrong with last year's Celtics team and who is to blame for the implosion, which, of course, he's not going to say Kyrie. We all know it is, but here's what he said.
I don't know why he gets all the blame. I mean, I'm the one who should be blamed for last year. We put a team together that just didn't have the pieces that didn't fit. We had a lot of talent, a lot of expectations. It's certainly not Kyrie's fault.
You think it was your fault?
Yeah, I do think it was my fault. I think there's some things I wish I had done different.
Is there one thing that stands out that you wish you had done differently last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in hindsight, wish I would have cleaned out the roster a little bit to make it easier for Brad. You know, we had a deep roster. We were built for a longer run, but we had a lot of young guys that had a lot of success without Gordon and Kyrie. And the guys that had success without those two guys, you know, felt like it was their time for the spotlight, and it just didn't mesh.
What? He's cleaned out the roster.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. So what you're saying is you want to get rid of all the young players that are good?
Well, maybe Rozier. I could see him possibly considering Rozier. That, you know,
fair
Rozier's
enough, but if he says... Marcus Morris seems like a good soldier.
It's
last
just on
year.
The last year of his deal.
Marcus Morris was awesome.
Yeah,
last
well,
year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, is yeah. that? I mean, Danny Ainge is going so far out of his way not to say Kyrie.
I know.
That was his way of saying Kyrie in that the ridiculousness of the statement.
Well, he set up everything perfectly, but as we know, that whole injury and Kyrie being out and Gordon Hayward. You know, when you get the success of these young guys, he's absolutely right. They have this feeling of, I need to be starting. I need to get more time on the floor.
Right, so what, you get rid of them? You get rid of Tatum.
I said, Fred, I don't think that that's something that Danny Ainge obviously planned for. But, I mean, Jaylen Brown? Like, who are you getting rid of? I mean, because the players I'm immediately thinking of that he's probably envisioning in his head is, because you can't get rid of Gordon Hayward. You can't get rid of a guy when he's coming back from injury.
No.
So it would have to be Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier. Those would be the two, because there's no overlap with a guy like Marcus Smart. He is who he is. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get rid of Kyrie if you're Danny Ainge.
No, the whole
you love
point
Kyrie.
The whole point that he said is, with Hayward and Kyrie, he should have cleaned out the roster.
And that, to me, sounds like Jaylen Brown, doesn't it?
Yeah, because they had to give him the contract this year. They had to.
So
if they traded him, it's somebody else's problem.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you get rid of your young talent to... You know, satisfy Kyrie Irving. I think they did the right thing.
I thought that was an interesting comment by him. But Danny was then asked about Kemba Walker's place on this team. And while not trying to take a shot at Kyrie, he did take a shot at Kyrie.
Kemba was a guy that came available to us. And now where he has a chance to win. Like, he's winning games at a higher rate than he ever has. And you can see the joy. We didn't have that last year. Even when we were playing well, we didn't really find the happiness in playing and the joy with playing with one another. So, Kimba was a great fit for us.
So everyone's happy now.
Yeah, and it was great. There's joy. And I wonder if the Patriots are hearing that and saying there's no joy this season. Mm-hmm. Ted Johnson, who predicted this beginning of the season.
There's joy on the defensive side. They're having a grand old time. They're naming themselves the Boogeyman. You got Devin McCourty wearing his Ninja Turtle t-shirts. Like, they're having a grand old time.
At least McCourty said that he wasn't going to call them the Boogeyman.
It's great. I mean, that was great.
And it needed to be done. Yeah, and it's good that a veteran stepped up and put the kibosh on that.
Yeah, the leader. He's like, all right, guys, shut up. You know,
because, listen, the Patriots, everything. But when Kyle Van Noy, who I don't have a problem with, but when Kyle Van Noy came up and went, wow, seeing ghosts, we really are the Boogeyman.
Man, it's for real now.
It's for real now. And you're like, all right.
I thought it was kind of funny. See, he stopped the guy from talking.
Yeah,
see, the guy was like asking a question. Hang on, wait. Did you just say he was seeing ghosts? Man, it's for real now, the Boogeyman.
I got douche chills that couldn't stop.
I actually thought it was funny.
Well, McCourty didn't.
McCourty thinks the Boogeyman's the stupidest. I want to pull that clip because I don't think you've ever heard it, Fred. I've just told you that he said that.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard it either.
It's great because he was asked about it. He's just
even know?
No. Like somebody saying, he goes, no, we don't need to be giving ourselves nicknames. And then he started kind of making fun of the name the Boogeyman.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
It's pretty good. I'll see if we can play it later on.
The Boogeyman, come on!
Well, speaking of Kyrie, he isn't going to be playing here tonight when the Celtics take on the Nets. He's nursing a sore shoulder, which has been sore for 2 weeks. Meanwhile, Kemba Walker, who was taken off the court on a stretcher 4 nights ago, more than likely to play this evening. Just thought I would throw that out there. I am bummed, however, because after our interview with Danny Ainge last week where he said people shouldn't boo Kyrie when he came back, you've not heard this yet. Paul Pierce went on The Jump on ESPN and said this.
This is Boston, folks. When you tell these fans that, hey, I'm going to re-sign, I'll be back, I'm here for the long run, and then you turn around and leave a sour taste in the organization's lap and fans, this is going to be one of the loudest boos in league history come.
And I don't have this to tell you. Day
because I heard that, but they did not credit us for the comment, did they?
You see, I don't know, because I just saw that clip isolated. It was
same with me, and I'm a little, I don't, they probably did not. They probably just said, hey, did you hear Danny Ainge said that? And here we are, we're working for Beasley, while ABC Disney owns ESPN, and they can't give the little man a little plug.
All I know is that Kendrick Perkins has become one of my favorite Twitter followers. I mean, he's not afraid to crap on anyone, especially Kyrie Irving. And the other day he tweeted, I read all of his tweets and I hear his voice in my head. Kyrie looked at the schedule before the season and started planning this whole injury thing because he didn't want to go back to Boston this upcoming week. He didn't want that smoke and bean town. SMH.
A little foghorn leghorn.
I can't even get as low as him. I can't get it low enough. Well, he's kind of got a little foghorn because he's like southern, but like deep.
Very white southern.
The deepest southern voice. I mean, impossibly deep.
Yeah, he is. He's angling for something, but yeah.
Good. Put him on TV. I agree. He's on TV.
If you start talking like that, that's what you want out of television. All right, what's going on, Rich?
Oh, we've got another one of those end of the decade Boston lists that we will get to.
All right, we will return in just a moment.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Ska music. This is ska music. I've ruled on this. Rude boy. Yes, indeed.
Hang on. Mike noticed something about the singer. All right. Pot it down, Dan. Mike noticed something. Let's see if it works.
Toucher. It's the same guy.
To listen to you on the radio in the greater Boston area.
This guy, they do sound the same.
Oh my God.
Well, the Scofflaws, I don't think, are a band anymore, so maybe this is.
Talking about sports and stuff. I got to want a little herb that I've been growing. Toucher and Rich is sent off their good show.
I mean, maybe the Scofflaws guy's like brain exploded or something, and he just kind of turned into this dude.
The Fred Toucher guy has like a residency at like an Elks Lodge.
It's great. He sent us like this basically a tour sheet for his tour dates, and he's doing two things at this Elks Lodge in the middle of New Hampshire. I'm not even sure where it was. And
he plays for like 3 hours and it's all songs like that.
Like, so his strategy is, I guess, that it's probably not that good a strategy. Well, you can get on Spotify and make, you know, a quarter cent for every play, but you just make songs about as many things as possible.
And he did. I mean, it's like, I'm trying to find, he's made one about, I think, pretty much everyone at the station.
Yeah.
But then I also think that he had one called, is this it right here?
I don't want to say
it. That's not it. Hang on. No, I can't find it. He had one song that was just called Fart Face.
Yes. And you can imagine, I don't know if it needs to be played.
No, probably not.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, this is, of course, the end of the decade, which means everyone's making their end of the decade list. We like Jeff Howe. He came out with the 10 most memorable Patriots games of the 2010s. Now, this obviously isn't like the greatest wins, just the most memorable. So keep that in mind when trying to figure out who. And I think this is a solid list that he came up with. Joe Murray, if you had to guess who Jeff Howe, what game Jeff Howe picked as the most memorable Patriots game of the 2010s?
It's probably the comeback versus Atlanta.
It's got to be.
Nope.
Oh, really? Because that.
I think a lot of people.
That begat many tire covers on Jeeps.
I guess it did. And a lot of T-shirts. And I think a lot of people think that one could be it, but it's not.
If it's not that one, it's got to be Malcolm Butler.
That is. Malcolm Butler intercepts the ball. Yeah. That's right. Super Bowl XLIX. I forget what number that actually is, and I don't want to do it in my head.
What do you think is big? Like, if you're thinking about it. I mean, maybe it probably is the Malcolm Butler just for the fact that, like, everything went wrong and all the stuff that you've seen in Super Bowls past were happening, and then the play just happened on an undrafted kid.
It was, like, you couldn't believe that it actually happened. And it's still astounding when you think that they had Marshawn Lynch just sitting there, just like you, Joe. And they didn't use him.
Yeah, they had a big back just sitting there.
So number
two. Joe Murray was there. He could have gotten through.
Number two is the come from behind win. You know, here's why I think that you can put that Seattle one before that, is because the come from behind win was astounding. But it took me about a good 6 months till you actually could comprehend what had happened. Because the comeback was so furious, and it happened, and like with every catch, you're like, I can't believe this is going on. And when they finally won it, it was a shock. I have a bunch of text messages from friends of mine in Atlanta where they're just like, by the, you know, the middle of the third, they've won. The T-shirts were on sale. You saw that the thing that we played where there was all the stores, like the Dick's Sporting Goods in Atlanta, had already opened up with Super Bowl champion shirts. Even though, of course, we know what happened at the end. So that was number two. Number three on the list is an AFC championship game. And this was a great one. And it's one that I think is going to be overlooked, but it was a great one.
You got a guess, Fred?
Ravens?
No, that one is at number... And that was... And the Ravens...
The Ravens one was the pass with Edelman.
And that was the divisional round. That was the one in 2015.
So it's got to be the Chiefs.
And by the way, that one's number four. Chiefs coming in at number three. The one from last year, 37-31. Obviously, with a little offsides luck, that was kind of nice.
And that was a great comeback for the Chiefs.
They do not have to be wins, remember.
It's the Miami Miracle on there?
It's not on there, although that's a great one. No, not the most memorable. Number five. Super Bowl against the Eagles. And I remember, think about it. If they would have won that, that would have gone down as one of the best quarterback performances in history from Tom Brady. I mean, he was unbelievable.
And we're still talking about why Malcolm Butler didn't play.
Well, to me, that's why this is ranked so high and why he's exactly right. Because to this day, if I could sit down and put truth serum in Bill Belichick and make him answer any sports-related question, because other than that, it would have to do whether or not he has a Bon Jovi tattoo.
You know, Bon Jovi was supposed to be at the game on Sunday, but he
played
because of the weather.
He played. He had a video. I watched it live. It was sad.
Bon Jovi played?
He played a song on the big screen.
But he was not.
He wasn't there.
No, he was supposed to be there, but he said he saw the weather and he said, "I'm out."
He's by himself too, no band, nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is Bon Jovi? I mean, Bon Jovi is Bon Jovi. It's not Richie Sambora.
Is that the worst touchdown song in the league? Like, listen, you could have picked 1,000. I mean, you could have probably picked 5 Bon Jovi songs that would have been all right, crowd pleaser. But this is our house.
Let it rock play.
That would have been nice.
Let it rock.
So that comes in at number 5, the Super Bowl loss, and number 6. Another Super Bowl game, which I would put this even further down the list, Patriots versus Rams, I guess because of the significance of it being 6, but, you know, once you got five, you're already the greatest of all time. At number seven, the championship game, AFC between the Patriots and the Jaguars from 2018. That was a great game. That was a, and that was the one that was kind of Stephon Gilmore's coming out party. Remember how great he was in that game? And then Super Bowl Giants versus Patriots. The is this the helmet catch? Yes, that comes in at number eight.
You talking about 22?
No, not the helmet catch. No, this is the second loss. That's right, because that's in this decade.
That's when they threw the Hail Mary to Gronk in the end zone, and Hernandez was there, too.
That is right, number nine, you just put the year of the comeback in 2013 because of all the big comebacks they had against the Saints, the Broncos, and the Browns. And then, this is a pretty good one. At number 10, Patriots versus Bengals from 2014, where they absolutely stomped them. Do you remember the significance of that game?
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati. It was after they had got humiliated on, was that Monday Night Football, yep. The game against the Chiefs? And it looked like that was the whole, he's not any good anymore from Trent Dilfer. Yep. And then, of course, they end up going on to win the Super Bowl after that. So that was a significant. I think it's a pretty good list. I think he did a good job.
Trent Dilfer is the guy that said, you know, you're sitting around the water cooler at work and, you know, every guy's over there. You don't know what he's talking about. You don't know anything about the quarterbacks. You're saying, Dilfer, you slide off. Look at you. Just you jabroni sitting around talking about football. Got to get someone in there that can rub elbows and tell you the real deal. And I just like the idea of you're just at the water cooler. Just a bunch of idiots.
What's Dilfer got to say?
It's like you bunch of morons.
Did you hear what the Dilf said?
Just sitting around talking about meaningless crap without being fully informed. I thought that was the greatest thing ever. Like, Dilfer, you really think that you're something else?
Well, Trent Dilfer. Well, I mean, you heard what happened with his negotiation with ESPN. I guess he was jealous that I forget which guy who does college games for them. I forget which one, but he has a private plane, bring him to the games. And mostly it's because some of these towns that they're, Kirk Herbstreit, I believe it is. And I think it's because some of these towns you go to, you know, they don't have like a major airport. Right. They're kind of up far out there. So he gets a private plane. So Trent Dilfer tried to demand in his next contract that he gets a private plane. And I guess that was a sticking point. He was like, no, we're not giving Trent Dilfer a private plane.
The thing with Herbstreit is he does game day.
Yes.
So wherever game day is, he has to go fly and then do the night game.
Yes, you're exactly right. So that's why they give him a private plane.
Well, Boomer got a private plane to go do Monday Night Football.
Yeah, but I think he had like some sort of CBS, right?
Because he couldn't get there and back without a private plane. And they valued his talent enough where they said, if you want to do Monday Night Football and get back to do your radio show in New York the next morning, you are going to need a private plane. All right. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines. And Ted Johnson will be joining us.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.